This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Final season of the Bowl Championship Series. Yankees left fielder Brett Gardner thinks he could be back in the lineup tonight in Baltimore after leaving last night's game when he was hit on the left wrist by a pitch. X-rays of the wrist were negative.
Sports Center on ESPN Radio is brought to you by H&R Block. It's refund season. Come into Block and get your billions back, America. Call 1-800-HR-BLOCK or visit hrblock.com to make an appointment.
Now, The Herd with Colin.
Hastings Physical Therapy, the standard for excellence in one-on-one care, is proud to offer Hastings' first and only on-site aquatic therapy pool, featuring state-of-the-art heated therapy pool technology with private locker rooms. Providers to Hastings College, The Danger, and South Central Nebraska. Make us your choice when you need physical therapy. Open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and conveniently located next to Applebee's on Osborne Drive West. Visit HastingsPhysicalTherapy.com to tour all of our services or call 402-462-2665.
High school seniors who want to be part of agriculture advocacy are encouraged to participate in the Ask an Aggie program from AgView. I'm Ken Rogers, and any senior in high school who will be studying agriculture after graduation can participate. We want you to find questions in the communities which you live about food and agriculture and answer them with your knowledge. The key is you and the questioner on video using your smartphone. For complete rules and where to enter and upload, go to AgView.net or AgView on Facebook. Deadline May 31st, Ask an Aggie from AgView.net.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. Doug Duda, my co-host today, former Husker Monty Kratzenstein in studio. We're going to talk a little Husker football on the program today. We're also going to talk about the passing of Adrian Fiala and get to that. The Royals pick up another win yesterday. They are now 7-0 in the last undefeated baseball team. I mean, let's face it, Royals fans, we were more like the last winless team, last team looking for a win more years than not. It's nice to see the Royals continuing to do some things well. A lot of Husker news that have nothing to do with this year's current team. You've got Zach Bowman signing on with the Miami Dolphins, so he'll be joining Big Sue down there. Some former Huskers among those that are on the Dolphins. Of course, was it Zach Taylor's down there? I believe it is on their staff. And then you got the Lawrence Phillips saga. So, Monty, good morning. How are you, man?
I'm great. Thanks for having me in.
Coming up on our show today, we will talk with Kevin Kugler and Jim Rose. They both worked with Adrian Fiala at different points in his career and their career. And for Cougs, really, and if you go out and read all the social media and all the things that are out there, especially big on Twitter or Facebook over the last 12 hours or so, for Cougs, it's basically his first gig. I mean, he was working with Adrian the first time that he ever got a chance to do anything. And for Jim Rose, Adrian was in the booth for him while he was doing football. So,
you know, guys like that have a lot of stories. They spend a lot of time together. And when you travel, when you kill time together, when you do those sorts of things, you create a lot of memories. And so I'm anxious to hear from them about that because the one thing about Adrian is he created memories, you know, either with his voice, his broadcasting, or with his storytelling, or whatever he had, he did that.
Like I mentioned to some folks last night when the news came out late yesterday afternoon, I always liked him doing football or doing baseball more than I liked him doing football, because I thought he had more time to tell his stories in baseball. I mean, let's face it, if you grew up listening to your favorite baseball announcer, whether for some of us it was Denny Matthews and Fred White, or whether you listened to Joe, Mr. Buck out there at St. Louis, or Harry Carey, or whatever it was, in baseball you have more time to tell stories. In football, you kind of you get cut off. It's got to be short bites, right, short bites, short bites, or else you're stepping on the play. But the one thing about Adrian Fiala and the opportunities that I got to know him, like I said, Adrian always knew who you were, and if you saw him two or three times, I mean, let's face it, he knew thousands of people. He's in that spot where everybody knows Adrian, but it's hard for Adrian to know everybody, or at least remember where he knows you from. But boy, as we'll hear from Jim Rose, as we'll hear from Kevin Kugler, you had to plan a little extra time to get where you were going, because there was always conversations along the way.
He is one of those guys, especially later on in this, when his health was deteriorating over the past few months and year, he could turn it on. You know, you could see that he wasn't feeling well. You could see that he wasn't doing very well. But boy, when that switch was flipped on the microphone, or when he stood up in front of people, he could just turn it on, and he had a gift for that.
This is one of those things that was kept kind of quiet. We always knew if we were in the media or the friends and family of Adrian Fiala that he had been sick and had been battling this lung, which eventually took his life. But it happened so quickly, apparently, though. A few of his close friends kind of knew Saturday he was in the hospital, Sunday in the hospital, and it is unfortunate. Only 67 years of age, football player, and again, for those of us that are our age, we knew that he was a football player and a baseball player, but he's one of those guys that really defines being a Husker from his playing days to the day he passed.
Well, you know, when I was in Omaha, his legacy really started with playing on that Legion team that was really, for many people, considered one of the best Legion teams to ever come out of Nebraska. And that was kind of how it started. You know, this South Omaha athlete, dual sport athlete, multi-sport athlete in high school. And then the interesting thing to me also is when he went to college, again, dual sport athlete, playing two of the toughest positions that you could ever play, catcher and, you know, he talked about telling stories. I've never listened to him at a baseball game without him talking about how catchers get beat up in their hands and all those, you know, and he took great pride in that. And then playing linebacker, and, you know, Barry Alvarez was a friend of his and a teammate of his. And he, you know, he had a lot of great stories from that era, the transitional time during the Bob Devaney era, early in that. So, and then, of course, doing his broadcast stuff and color commentary and his weekly show. So, he saw a lot of things. He was known for a lot of things. And so, you know, I think now, you have certainly some grief, and that should happen. But you also have a real celebration of what he represented and what he stood for throughout his playing and also his broadcasting career.
Adrian Fiala always found something good in whatever it was, during the down times of the football team or baseball or whatever it is. He could always find some good, and you know that when they made their weekly predictions on Big Red Wrap-Up, we'll have to ask Kugler how many times Adrian Fiala actually picked against the Huskers. I mean, they had to be a significant underdog for him to pick the Huskers to lose by 3 or 4.
One thing I want in my home state broadcasters is I want them to be homers, and Adrian was a homer.
He went to Ryan High School in Omaha before joining Devaney's team. 69 was his senior season. As we said, catcher on the baseball team. Adrian Fiala passes away yesterday at the age of 67 from incurable lung condition. That is what we'll talk about more later on in the show. We've also got some folks coming in with the Youth Advisory Board with the Buffalo County partners to tell us about an event that they have got coming up and how they're working with kids. So we'll talk with them a little bit later on as well. Nebraska baseball, their highest ranking this week is 22nd in collegiate baseball, 23rd in D1 baseball, 25th in USA Today. I know a lot of people were ticked off that they couldn't find the baseball game on television last week. As we always remind you, you can always hear it on our network of stations. And tonight it's on 1230 AM KHAS because we have Storm Playoff Hockey on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. And with the Royals and the playoffs, you're going to hear a majority now of the baseball games on 1230 AM KHAS. They play Omaha tomorrow. But television tonight for the Husker baseball game at 7:05 against Creighton in Omaha is on the CBS Sports Network. Then there's no television for the UNO game tomorrow, and Ohio State rolls in this weekend, and it looks like we'll have a chance to talk with Coach Beals most likely tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. The Buckeyes, who are off to a very good 7-2 conference start.
You know, it was disappointing. Baseball's a weird sport. It really is. You know, the best team does not always win. It's hard to get on a great winning streak. You know, you talk about the Royals being 7-0. That's tough to do at any level, let alone Major League Baseball. But we're talking about the Nebraska game on Friday night. You know, they were facing a pitcher that had an over 5 ERA, hadn't shown a whole lot this year, was pretty good last year, and they just couldn't hit him. I mean, they just couldn't square anything up, and got shut out. And you know, the one thing I think we've learned over the last few years about a Darren Erstad team is Darren doesn't like to lose, and his players take on that personality. And every time there's a challenge like that, where you know they didn't play as well as they needed to, we saw on Saturday and Sunday a little different look in their eye, and that was good to see, because as you go on later in the season, you know, it's pretty tough. Last year's Big Ten record was so unusual. They had such a great Big Ten record. They got on that roll. They swept some. It's hard to sweep teams in college baseball. It's hard to win all three games. And, you know, you need to win a lot of those close games and get out with that 2-1. Even if you're a better team, you need to do that. So, you know, a couple good interesting midweek games. You know, I always liked watching play Creighton and UNO, and then away we go against Ohio State. That'll be a lot of fun.
And Ohio State, again, playing some pretty good baseball right now. Monty, I know this show is going to blow right by here, so I want to hear your thoughts on spring practice being done, the first spring practice for Coach Riley and his assistants, and where this football team is. I was cautioning the listeners yesterday, don't overreact by watching the spring game. Even though Nebraska's spring game this year...
Whoa. Don't overreact. You're talking to people. That would overwhelm.
Don't just overreact on the game from Saturday. You can overreact all you want. But Nebraska actually did play a game instead of just, you know, stopping plays and not hitting quarterbacks and things like that. But what have you seen from Coach Riley, his staff, and this year's team through spring ball?
What has been really interesting for me to see is the progress and the process has been put in place. I believe it's obvious to me that they are not necessarily... they aren't revamping everything. You know, there's a lot of times coaches' staff come in there and they say, okay, clean slate. We're going to run our offense. We're going to run our defense. We're going to change everything. And almost that first year afterwards is, I hate to say a throwaway year, but it's one of those big transitional years where that's the way it is. I don't feel that down there. I don't feel that when I watch it. There's a lot of elements of last year's teams that are still in place. And I think they know after some pretty short evaluation period. They know that they've got some players and they have to coach to their skills. It sounds like a simple concept, but there's a lot of coaches that don't do that. There are a lot of coaches that say, hey, this is the way we do things, and we're going to put that square peg into that round hole and try to do it that way.
A specific example that fans can see was the quarterback not getting under center on Saturday, which eventually is what Danny Langsdorf wants his offense to have.
Absolutely. But you also look at his offense, and he also has coached some shotgun elements into it. So, you know, that multiple sort of a thing where we can do different things and we don't have to change the whole concept of the X's and O's based on, you know, where the quarterback lines up. You know, they ran zone read. They ran a lot of the schematic sort of things you will see in a normal passing attack. One of the things I really like to see, you know, everybody loves to fixate on certain things, and you know, the jet sweep has been kind of and listen, you look at all levels of football, that's a good play, especially to the weak side, jet sweep or you know, whatever you want to call it. I call it jet sweep, weak. That's a son of a gun to defend, you know. And when you got a guy like number 15 for us, you know, we can use that. The other thing that we saw some of that. The other thing that people like to look at is, you know, it's been a big point, topic is the screen game, you know. And again, those are things where those are things you have to really game plan for if you're preparing for that team. I would compare it, that those two things to a lot of the option attack, not the traditional triple option attack, but the option attack and the trapping game that Coach Osborne and Coach Tenneper and those guys used to teach. Pretty simple concepts, really, but with enough different nuances that you really had to game plan against those. The screen game, the jet sweep game, are that type of an offense. The other thing that's kind of interesting, that I love, is I love offenses that have counteraction. Now, whether it be faking the run one way and hitting the pass the other direction, you know, that's the old counter sweep bootleg thing that us old tight ends really like. But
Turner Gill.
Exactly. Forever. You know, that's the only way a slow guy like me could get open is all that counteraction. I love that. But you know, going one way and then coming back the other. Even the counter run plays, you know, because you can't let those defensive linemen, especially those linebackers, just lock into their keys and go in one direction. You force those guys to move. And I saw there was probably about 5 or 6 or 7 plays that looked like really simple plays, but had enough of that little action going on that I really appreciated. You know, how many times have we seen the center pull? You know, Paul Thurston was, you know, of course, he was playing against.
We don't want to get our center in any kind of trouble right now. We don't have enough of them.
Well, but you know, Paul Thurston's one of those guys where, you know, he's going to struggle. Let's be honest. He's going to struggle with he struggled with Valentine and Collins all spring. But that's a good thing because those two guys are horses. But if you get a guy like Paul Thurston, when he gets and he can pull and he can get out in the open and he can pick on some little guys, you know, he can be effective. So anyway, it's a long story to a short question, but I really like some of those types of things I saw because you could see where you could build on some of those things that were put in place.
We'll get to Monty Kraftenstein's just thoughts because he takes obviously a little different look and view and point at it than I will or most of the media guys do as a former player and a former coach and looking at those types of things. Folks, if you're looking for something to take care of you in the field, we keep telling you about T&L Irrigation Systems, and there's a reason why that they continue to grow. They have been a part of Central Nebraska since the 1950s with their worldwide headquarters in Hastings, but a much bigger part of the United States and world since that time, taking care of over 60 countries worldwide. Why? Well, because they work. They put more money in your pocket. They are easy to work with. T&L's hydrostatically powered pivot systems have that simplicity of their hydraulic design with superior reliability, and who doesn't love the low maintenance and safety that goes along with it? That's why they're like no other. Contact your local T&L dealer or go to TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation Systems. Kevin Kugler is set to join us when we return on the Doug and Daddy Show.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just have been happy hour, I got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A 3-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
touchdown!
You've got to be kidding me!
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll stay with mainly sunny skies across the area through the day today with a high temperature around 70. South winds will stay gusting around 15 to 25. Then with partly cloudy skies tonight, we'll head down to 40 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 61.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, former Husker, Monty Kratzenstein with us as we take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. It's here again for us. And Jimmy Langan, who was co-hosted with me yesterday, threw me a major curveball when he said no to our question, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? And he said no. I said yes. I've always said yes, so I'm hanging on with that. But our voting public was 67% yes, 33% no. Monty?
I'm way yes. Yeah. And I was not a Pete Rose fan when he was a player. Admired him. I say
Big Red Machine, baby.
I could. Isn't it sad how I didn't like the Big Red Machine. I can name probably 15 players off that team. Isn't it weird? I think it must be a time
frame.
The
first plastic John Olerud type hat I ever had. Cincinnati Reds, baby.
Davey Concepcion, shortstop.
Joe Morgan, my hero. Let's take a look at today's question. Do you like the current Triple Crown with the Derby, the Preakness Stakes, and the Belmont Stakes? Do you like the way that that is set up? Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com on our Midtown Mart cooler question, Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We welcome in from Westwood One and, of course, the Big Ten Network, and really, for today's purposes, Huskers, Big Red, everything that he does with the Huskers, and Kevin Kugler joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, back from Augusta and the beautiful Masters after finishing off another fine call in the Final Four. Kevin, thanks for giving us some time, and in this case, our condolences.
Well, you know, it's been a sad 24 hours for the state of Nebraska, really. I've lost a colleague in Adrian, and I'm sad about that, but I'm sad for the state. This is a state that he loved, and a state that he loved traveling around, and he loved representing Nebraska everywhere he went. So it's a sad day for the state of Nebraska because we've lost a great ambassador.
And it has been just not even two full seasons that Big Red Wrap-Up has taken a couple of major hits here with, unfortunately, a couple of early passings that made this a great, great show. Part of the reason it's a great, great show.
Well, we lost Jim Carmichael last February. And Jim, for those that don't know, was the longtime producer of Big Red Wrap-Up. The show didn't get on the air without Jim all those years. And Jim was a great friend, and that hurt a lot. And now to lose Adrian in the way we have, it's you're right. It's the show has taken a couple of big hits over the last couple of years, and Gavin Felix took over producing the show this year, and Gavin did a tremendous job and really kept the show going. But Adrian was really sort of the heart and soul in a lot of ways of what Big Red Wrap-Up was. I don't know how many times I'd have people, my family included, talk to me about something that Adrian did or said on the show. It was just that kind of a... He had that kind of an impact on people when he went on the air, and it's going to be, well, there's no way to replace Adrian. There will be, I'm sure, somebody in the chair, but it will not be Adrian, and we know that that's not something that we can ever replace. We're just going to have to see who else can handle that job, but they won't handle it in the same way Adrian did. He was one of a kind.
Kevin's Monty Kratzenstein. We talked earlier on this show about how Adrian is one of those guys that created memories with either his presence or his voice, or a lot of us listen to him doing calls or interviews and whatnot. What, working with him the way you did, other than just, you know, the amount of time he spent talking to different people, what are some of the best memories that you have, the funniest things about Adrian? Because Adrian was a character.
Adrian was a character. You know, a lot of people don't know that Adrian used to attempt And I say attempt because I don't know how good it was. But Adrian used to attempt to do a Kermit the Frog impersonation. And now, he didn't do it a lot in public. This was not something that, you know, you could dial up on demand. But Adrian, when you'd get him rolling a little bit, he would attempt a Kermit the Frog impersonation that sounded... You really had to have somebody tell you, hey, this is a Kermit the Frog impersonation, for you to understand that it was a Kermit the Frog impersonation. But he gave it a good shot, and, you know, there were quirky things like that that you would find that Adrian would do over the course of time spent in a broadcast booth on a long day or time spent on a set with Adrian. And I always knew there were a few things that could make Adrian kind of belly laugh. mentioning Kermit the Frog, mentioning Sneak Beasley was a big name for Adrian Fiala, just sort of his name for anybody that was a little bit shady. That guy, Sneak Beasley. I mean, there were just little things like that that if you throw them Adrian's way, you were always guaranteed to get a chuckle out of Adrian, and that, I will miss those moments.
We're talking with Kevin Kugler, who we see and hear in a variety of roles, and for this instance, we're talking about Big Red Wrap-Up and working with Adrian Fiala. I saw a couple of your tweets about your early starts, too, and let's face it, no matter what the job is, it's nice to have somebody that's a little bit elder, that's been around the business, that can help you along the way. Talk about those first few times that you worked with Adrian.
Well, my very first professional, and I put that in quotes because you look back on it now and it was anything for me but professional, but my very first paid professional broadcast was in July of 1994. I was working the Shrine Bowl for NET, one of the many Shrine Bowls I've worked over the years, and this one I was on the sidelines for. It was my very first gig, and I had no reason for anybody to think that was a harbinger of anything to come. I should have probably left the business after that because I was on the sidelines in horrible sunglasses, chewing gum, and you watch it now and you think, what in the world is this guy doing? And yet Adrian never acted like I shouldn't have been there, never acted like I wasn't a part of the team. He just accepted the fact that I was there as a young kid, and it was very good to see that kind of camaraderie start to develop. And, of course, Adrian and I developed a lot more camaraderie over the years from that first moment. But Aid was somebody who you could always count on for a little bit of advice or just a listen. You know, as I started off my career doing sports talk in Omaha in 2000, and there were some times in the early years where I didn't think it was working or I didn't think it was going anywhere, and I would call Adrian. He actually talked me out of quitting one time in the early days of unsportsmanlike conduct in Omaha. He's just one of those guys who had been through a lot, had seen a lot, whether it was as a sportscaster or as an attorney or just, you know, he'd lived a life and had been in a lot of different situations as a team member and as a businessman, and he was a good guy to lean on. And, you know, we were of different generations. Adrian's 67 years old. I'm 42, so in a lot of ways, he was old enough, he could have been my father, but we didn't have that kind of a relationship. It was just one of those relationships where if you needed Adrian, you knew he was going to be there. And the fact that he's not going to be there anymore is hard to take.
Well, Kevin, you have come a long way, baby, from that sideline of 1984. I will say that.
The one I remember is I think he was in Eagle or somewhere during, short track dirt car racing or something. That's the earliest thing I ever saw of him. But go ahead, Monty.
we worked a little bit together with Adrian. He was involved in a lot of different charitable ventures, but the Teammates Foundation, which he held that golf tournament out at Wild Horse, my stomping grounds out in Gothenburg, and did a nice job. In fact, now we probably need someone to carry on that torch because he did such a nice job there. Could you talk a little bit about that side of Adrian that maybe people that listen on the radio don't know that much about, that part of him?
Oh, absolutely. Look, Adrian was a giving man, and he loved people, and he loved the people of this state specifically. And anything he could do to use his celebrity, whatever level of celebrity they thought he had, to get somebody some help, he was going to do that. And that's where the golf outing came from, out in Gothenburg. And I played there the first couple of years before my summer schedule became so much that it was just impossible for me to get there. But it was a great event, and it was always fun to see the outpouring of support from not only the local community, but just people all across the state who were very interested in being a part of Adrian's orbit, so to speak. And that was the case with Adrian everywhere. People flocked to him. People wanted to hear what he had to say, and he was always willing to sit and talk with them. He'd sit at Lamar's Donuts when he was in much better health on a regular basis and have a cup of coffee, read the paper, I'm sure had a donut or two from time to time, and people would just come up and chat with Adrian, and he loved it. He loved the idea of, as he grew into the role of kind of being the elder statesman voice of Husker football, and I think that was something that, had he not gotten so sick with this, with the breathing thing, that it still frustrates me that no one could do anything to make this better. And that's one of the frustrations I'll carry with me for a long time. I don't know how many times I encouraged him to, you should, is there somewhere else you can look? Is there something else you can do? And there just really wasn't, it seemed, anything else that could be done. But had his health held out, I know he would have really enjoyed and embraced that role of being, you know, kind of, I don't want to say taking the torch from Don Bryant, the former sports information director who passed, but I think he would have been one of those guys that would have been such a valuable voice even into his 70s, 80s, and even 90s had he been able to live that long. And unfortunately, we didn't get to see that last chapter for Adrian Fiala.
Last couple minutes here with Kevin Kugler, Westwood One, Big Ten Network, and, of course, host of Big Red Wrap-Up. We mentioned this earlier in the show. I mean, there are guys that are Cornhuskers. There are people that love their program, love their state. But I think Adrian, whatever category you want to break this down to, I mean, he's one of the guys that you could put Mr. Cornhusker across his T-shirt. Not a lot of people would disagree with that. I joked, how many times did Adrian actually, even in the years and even in the games when you're big underdogs, how many times did Adrian even pick against Nebraska? I mean, like I said, we could be a 17-point underdog, which was a rarity, and that Adrian might say, okay, well, it's going to be close, but we'll probably get clipped by three or four. He was always in Big Red's corner.
I can remember in all the years we did the pick segment on Big Red Wrap-Up, I can remember maybe one time that he went against Nebraska, and it was ripping his heart out to do so. And it was one of those games where, and they didn't win, he was right, but it was one of those moments where it pained him so much to do it. And I don't know how long he spent explaining away his pick, but he spent a long time saying, I don't want to do this. I hope I'm wrong. Please let me be wrong, but I'm going to go with them. And it did not happen a lot. He loved the Big Red, and in an era of people looking for the negative, he always looks for the positive. And that was something that I think we're not seeing enough of. We see a lot of people willing and ready to tell us what we did wrong, whether it's in social media or otherwise. And Adrian always wanted to find ways to tell people what was going right.
No doubt about it. I would be remiss if I didn't get at least one comment from you on your time at the Masters. I mean, let's face it, you and Mr. Nance have a pretty good couple of weeks there where you're calling the Final Four and hustle down to Augusta and see what was kind of some history this weekend.
Yeah, Jordan Spieth was something to behold. 21 years old and already more talented and more wealthy than any of us who are listening to this or a part of this show at this moment. he's a fantastic talent, and he's a really good kid, which I like. I mean, I like the notion that, you know, and everybody who knows him well says, look, this is exactly what you see is what you get with Jordan Spieth. The game of golf is in really good shape right now. We saw Tiger's comeback, which was more successful than I could have imagined. Phil Mickelson had a great round. You've got Jordan Spieth. Rory McIlroy played well late. I mean, there's just so much really good talent in golf right now. It's going to be compelling in the majors, especially when all of these guys gather to play. And if you're a golf fan, don't worry about the future, because the future looks very, very good with golfers like Jordan Spieth. These are the Tiger generation of golfers. They were weaned on Tiger as a golfer. So this is what the Tiger generation is giving us. This is our first glimpse. Jordan Spieth is really the first glimpse. Rory McIlroy too, but Jordan Spieth is the first glimpse of the next wave, the Tiger generation. That's a really good glimpse right now.
But isn't that what makes PGA golf's so great is because a lot of these guys have long careers and they have their peaks and they have their valleys. I mean, you talked about Tiger. You know, it feels like we've been through this before a little bit with Tiger and Phil and Rory and even Bubba Watson, and those guys aren't necessarily going away. They're, you know, and that, and to me, even watching Tom Watson in the first round,
well, Ernie Els was around, all
you know, I mean, that's what makes, to me, that's what makes PGA golf so great.
Well, and Mark O'Meara had a nice weekend in Augusta National. And who's thought of Mark O'Meara at a major in a decade? Not a whole lot of us. No, you're exactly right. That's the great thing about golf. It really is a game for a lifetime. You get the chance to play this game as long as you can, as long as you can move, as long as you can walk, as long as you can swing a club. I mean, Arnold Palmer's 85 years old. He's certainly not out playing 18 holes every day, but he can still get out and swing the club a little bit, as he showed on his opening drive. Jack Nicklaus had a hole-in-one of the par 3 contest. I mean, these are guys who our parents can talk about with great memories, and we get the chance to see them occasionally swing a golf club. So, no, it's wonderful to see golf, which is truly a game, maybe unlike anything else we have, where generations compete against one another. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like the most about golf, is that I can look at Tiger Woods and I can pair him up against Jordan Spieth, and for a 4-day weekend, two generations of great golfers can play against each other, and you don't know who's going to win. That's the beauty of golf. If you look back, I think you'll find that one of the first Masters Tiger was in was one of the last that Jack Nicklaus competed in. Jack Nicklaus beat Tiger Woods in a Masters in his early career, not as an amateur but as a professional. Those are things that you have to love about golf, that those kind of moments can happen when one generation goes against another.
Kevin Kugler, kind enough to give us some time. I know he's been doing a little bit of this for everybody. And, Cougs, any last thoughts before we let you go on Adrian that we didn't touch on or that you wanted to mention?
Well, I hope that people remember Adrian for what Adrian was, a person who loved this state, loved the people of the state, and loved the fact that Nebraska and Nebraska football are so intertwined, and loved to be the representative of that. He loved to be, if nothing else, a bridge. Not the bridge, but a bridge between Nebraska football and the Nebraska football fan. And I hope people remember Adrian, if nothing else, for that passion that he had for this state.
Kevin, enjoy it. We'll see you around College World Series time, if not before.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks, Kevin. Kevin Kugler joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to find out a little bit about the Buffalo County Youth Advisory Board here in just a moment. We've got our Cunningham's Comedy Clip coming up, and more on Adrian Fiala with another man that spent time in the booth with him in Jim Rose, and that's all coming up here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones,
cuts, or illnesses.
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 9 till 8, and weekends 11 until 5.
Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
I can't wait for summer. I have so many cool things I want to do.
I want to do something cool too this summer, but I don't know what there is to do.
You should come with me to Hilltop Mall's summer activity sign-up event. They are going to have organizations from around town with information about activities, clubs, sports, camps, and lots of other stuff. You can learn about and sign up for summer activities all right there at the mall.
Find summer activities for you and the whole family at Hilltop Mall's summer sign-up event, Saturday, April 18th, 1 to 4.
Back in time, a caveman, his name was Ugg, got tired of gathering nuts and berries, decided that meat was a neat treat.
Mine too.
Ugg was the first human carnivore. Ugg inspired others to try meat. They liked it too. Dog now serves as the spokes caveman for Carnivore's meat supply. Dozens of cuts of fresh beef, pork, chicken, and fish. Early carnivores used to have to knock on cave doors to find meat.
Love meat.
All you need to do is head to Carnivore's meat supply. West off 281 on Old Potash Highway.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on a Tuesday. You know, I think, Monty Krassenstein, I'm going to pencil in some time to do my taxes today. You?
A good idea. I don't know. I called my wife, and she said, are you kidding me? Those were done a long time ago. Don't worry about it. That's my life.
I don't have that.
Well, sorry.
Once in a while, beneficial. Once in a while.
About January, when she starts putting all that stuff together, I can maybe give you a call and she can maybe look at your stack of stuff and start putting it together.
I don't know. They all chuckle. So here it is. I'll see you later. Let's do our Cunningham's comedy clip here. A winner every week received two tickets to the early comedy show at Cunningham's Journal. This week at Cunningham's, 7:30 and 10:30 are the times. And David Beck is the headliner for this week. We are going to pay a comedy clip, whether it's a TV show, a movie, or from a stand-up routine. All you have to do is give us the correct answer. Then after tomorrow's show, we will randomly draw out a winner. You can hear it again on our Facebook page. Three ways to enter. You can leave your answer on our Facebook page. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Or you can call our Cunningham's Comedy Contest line. And if you do that, leave your name and your number so that we can contact you if you're the winner. And the Cunningham's Comedy Contest line, 308-646-0506, 646-0506. And here is this week's comedy clip.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
You know, I hadn't previewed the comedy clip this week, so I had no idea what was coming.
I can name that comedy clip in how many syllables?
Oh,
play that game?
You knew it by, let's see. Here.
106 miles to Chicago.
106 miles.
That's all
it.
I needed.
That's all I needed.
106 miles to Chicago.
Somebody will get this one.
If you know the answer, either the movie or any of the actors, actresses in it, give us a Cunningham's Comedy Contest call, email the Dent Popper inbox, or comment on our Facebook page where you can hear the clip again and again, and we'll play it again for you tomorrow on the show. The winner will receive two passes to Cunningham's and David Beck, the headliner, on Thursday night. Well, here's something that you're a little bit more familiar with than me, Monty. Which, I always like to think
youth.
I know everything on this show.
Youth. I'm familiar with youth. You're right.
The Youth Advisory Board, our youth coordinator is Mark Fordori. And Mark joins us here in the Doug and Daddy Show to talk about finding some youth to help on the board. And Mark, first off, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me.
Flip that on. Sorry about that.
Okay.
The cleaning lady must have been in. Mark, first, just explain to our listeners what the Youth Advisory Board is.
Sure. The Buffalo County Youth Advisory Board is a group of about 30 students that we select from all of the schools in Buffalo County. And the group gets together once a month throughout the school year to talk about issues that are affecting youth, what's going on in their schools, what things that they would like to work on in particular. Things that maybe need to be changed in their schools or in the community. And I always tell people, you don't need to have a straight A average to be on the advisory board. You don't need to be a star athlete. All you have to do is be a student who's concerned about what's going on in the community and if you want to have a positive impact on what's going on in the community. Those are the criteria.
What do these youngsters do besides get together with each other?
Well, they usually select an issue or two that they want to concentrate on for either that school year or a couple school years. A couple of years ago, the group got together and they decided that it would be a good idea to push for tobacco-free parks in the city of Kearney, for instance. And they presented their proposal to the Park and Rec Advisory Board. The Park and Rec Advisory Board presented it to the City Council. And now, if you go to Kearney Parks, you'll see little signs around that say, we're trying to keep the park tobacco-free. Please help us with that. And so they actually got the city to adopt a kind of a courtesy rule to keep the parks tobacco-free. And, you know, a couple of the issues that we've talked about this last year have included substance abuse in terms of high school kids abusing alcohol or tobacco or drugs, which is always a perennial issue with these kids. Another one of them was violence prevention and bullying prevention in the schools. A lot of them feel like we need to do something to change the culture of the schools so there's less bullying going on in schools, and things like cyberbullying is a big issue these days. Another one of the issues that they would like to work on in the coming year is distracted driving. You know, everybody's got a little distraction in their pocket.
Driving
and yes. Well, people who are driving while they're staring at their laps, you know, there's a problem there. So that's one of the issues that they want to take on for the coming year.
Mark, I like this is different to me because usually we just talk about some sports stuff and whatnot. And I know a little bit about your organization. I happen to know a young man that's involved in that. And you talked about the kind of kids that you're looking for, and that's interesting because there's always an emphasis to me on the fact that this is not a popularity contest. This is not something that you know, again, the absolute smartest kids or the best athletes on. Could you talk a little bit about how these kids are selected and how you know, you said you're trying to recruit the very best kids to be part of this that you can. How does this process work?
Well, you know, we the students can apply online at bcyab.org. From now until May 1st, we'll be accepting those applications. And after we gather together all the applications, the senior members of the Youth Advisory Board will go through the applications and kind of score the applications based on the answers to the questions. And then we invite students to come in and actually interview with current Youth Advisory Board members. And we take it from there and kind of just try to decide which students will we feel like have a real passion for the kind of work that we do, and so we try to get a handle on what they know about what Buffalo County Community Partners does, what the Youth Advisory Board does. If they're knowledgeable about it and they sound passionate about it and they have some ideas about actually maybe some changes they want to implement, those are all good signs that we look for in applicants.
Now, and the other thing that I want everybody to understand is that this is not from one school, it's not from two schools. Could you talk a little bit about, you know, the seats available?
Sure.
and where these kids come from? Mm-hmm. They aren't just from one school or another. Could you talk
right.
a little bit about that?
We have seats available from virtually every school in Buffalo County. I think the only one that we don't definitely have a seat available from is Ravenna, because we have three students from Ravenna already. But you never know. So, I mean, sometimes the students move or they get a job and they say, I can't participate any longer. So I encourage kids from every school to apply. And the way that we structure it is we have three representatives from each of the Buffalo County rural schools, and then we have six representatives from Kearney High, just because Kearney is a much more populous place. So we kind of try to even out that representation that way. So we have 11 slots that we're trying to fill this year, because that's how many seniors are graduating, and we have about 30 seats on the board altogether.
We're talking with Mark Fordori, the youth coordinator with the Buffalo County Youth Advisory Board. Kearney High, Kearney Catholic, Amherst, Elm Creek, Gibbon, Pleasanton, SEM, Shelton, if you're with any of those schools or communities, that's kind of what we're talking about right here. And we're not just talking juniors and seniors either, Mark.
No, we will accept applications from kids who are going into the 8th grade and going into the 12th grade and everywhere in between. And I think Monty can probably speak to this a little bit because his son got involved when he was on the younger side. And I think it's really great to get young students involved in this because you can come on the board when you're in the 8th grade and stay on until you graduate from high school, and from my standpoint, we really get to see the kids mature and kind of bloom during that time, and that's really exciting for us.
What I noticed, and I didn't know anything about this before. You know, my son was involved in it, you know, brought home an application and whatnot. But the interesting thing that I found is it seems like when kids get to be, you know, juniors and seniors, and all of a sudden they're looking for scholarships and they're thinking more long term about college and whatnot. This is a pretty good thing to have, A, on your resume, and B, to be involved in along mm-hmm. the way. I think sometimes what you get is, you know, it's pretty tough to get, you know, 8th grade, 9th grade kids to think about that far ahead because, mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they don't want to get involved in something like this. And so,
right.
You know, I would always encourage, it's never too early to get involved in something like this because there's some really high-level kids that, you know, as juniors mm-hmm. and seniors want to get involved, and really they can't because of spots available and those
right.
sort of things.
Right. And in fact, you know, that's another thing that we kind of look for when we're looking at the applications. You know, if we have an outstanding student, you know, who we think is going to fit in, we will take them. But, you know, we're a little more inclined even to pick somebody for the board who is going to be maybe a freshman or a sophomore because we know they'll be on for a couple of years rather than a senior who's just on for a year. And then they go away, kind of thing. And so, you know, we meet about 8 times a year, and we try to get everything done that we can in that time period. But boy, if a kid can be on for multiple years, you know, everybody benefits from that. It works out well for everybody.
We wanted to get Mark in because we've got just a little over 2 weeks left to apply. The application deadline is May 1st, and they interview over the summer, and your term begins in August. And again, you can find out more online at BCYAB, that's Buffalo County Youth Advisory Board, BCYAB.org, to get an application. Mark, is there anything more that the parents or the kids need to know?
No, I would just encourage them to visit the website, and it'll answer a lot of the questions that they have. And if after looking at that they still have questions, they can always give me a call at the office there. The phone number's on the website, and I'll be happy to answer any questions they have.
Mark, we appreciate you taking some time out of your day to join us. Hopefully we can fill these spots for you.
Well, thanks so much for your help with that. It's always a pleasure to come and talk with you guys.
Thank you. Kearney Catholic, Pleasanton, SEM, Shelton, Gibbon, Elm Creek, Amherst, they're all looking for some great kids from your schools and your communities. When we come back, we're going to talk with Jim Rose, also worked with Adrian Fiala in a little different perspective as well. They spent a lot of time in the Husker baseball booth. Kugler spent a lot of time in the baseball booth with Adrian at the College World Series. We'll talk with Jim when we come back.
Do you believe it? 80 yards!
It's all you need to know about sports without having your head explode.
They really need to produce for their fans.
KICS Hastings, KXBN, Kearney.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete and Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete and Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
The South Heartland District Health Department wants you to help us become the healthiest nation in one generation. Nationally, public health has seen successes like increasing life expectancy and reducing infant mortality. The United Health Foundation places Nebraska 10th in the United States in overall health ranking, but we still face challenges to do better. Take a pledge to do your part to eat well, exercise, and make healthy choices. Together, we can build healthy communities. Together, we can help create the healthiest nation in one generation. This message is from the South Heartland District Health Department, because they care about you and your loved ones.
It's spring cleaning time once again. This year, you can offer a fresh start to someone in your community and a fresh start for things you no longer need by donating things from your closets, basements, or garage to Goodwill. So dig a little, donate a lot, while you get yourself and your home off to a fresh start this spring. You'll be helping someone else live independently. Go to work and get a fresh start. Learn more online at goodwillne.org.
Doing it right makes such a difference.
difference. Goodwill.
Saturday at the K, the first 10,000 fans get a limited edition American League Champions replica trophy presented by Pepsi. Come before the 6-10 Royals Athletics wildcard rematch and celebrate Kansas City's 2014 playoff run, sweeping their way into the record books as the first team in history to start the postseason with 8 straight wins. Help us set some new records in 2015 by getting your tickets at Royals.com and Hy-Vee. And together, we'll make this season forever royal.
Giving back to the community has never been easier. May 1st is Give Hastings Day, a 24-hour opportunity to give to your favorite nonprofit organizations through the Hastings Community Foundation. Log on to givehastings.org on Friday, May 1st, and make your donation. It's that easy. You can win bonus money for your favorite charitable causes and enjoy some friendly competition. Plus, your donation stays in the Hastings area. Shape the future of Hastings in a single day on Friday, May 1st for Give Hastings Day. Live here, give here.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac continuing to expand here in the area with a 95-year heritage, two locations that include 8 new car franchises and a used car superstore that is coming soon. Midway is continuing to search for talented team members. As they grow, you can grow with them. And you can find out about all the available career opportunities online at MidwayCareers.com. MidwayCareers.com. As the automotive industry is rapidly expanding, Midway is hiring. And with hard work and integrity, you'll succeed with this great workforce. Be a part of the growth at Midway and recognize your full potential. The Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, and check out the available opportunities at MidwayCareers.com. Well, here's a voice we've heard a variety of times, but I don't know if it's been on the Doug and Daddy Show before. He's busy doing a variety of things in the media and his portion of the world, and of course, working at the university.
As important as he is, how has he not been on your show here? That's what I'm wondering.
That's what I've got to wonder. Jim Rose joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Monty Kraftenstein. Why is that, Jim?
It's a great mystery, and I got to tell you, fellas, when I had the opportunity to come on, I had to sit down and look back and think, now, this is an objective that I wasn't sure I'd ever get. I mean, I was hoping, but I'm thinking, wow, this is the one glaring omission from my resume. I'm thinking, if I don't get on soon, my day is gone and my window of opportunity is closed. So you filled one of the entries in my bucket list.
Okay. I was going to say it was at the bottom of the bucket, but it was on the list. That's all that matters, Monty, just like you.
Hey, Jim, it's one of those things where it's kind of like when they call me. I know when they call me to co-host, there's about 7 people that probably were busy doing something. So I'm not saying that's the case with you. That is not the case. No, when I gave you a call.
It's usually 10 or 12 guys that couldn't do it. For me, Monty, and you know, this is a great art. You know, it's like when you invite somebody to sit in your suite the day before the game, and you're going, you know, it just occurred to me that I had 2 seats for tomorrow's game. And they go, how many people said they couldn't make it? And if you're really a sincere person, okay, 10. Maybe 11, I lost count. And I mean, you were the last guy that had a chance. Otherwise, we've got extra slick room for you. What you mean, Monty?
You're a deal.
Well, Jim Rose is with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we can talk, and we will, a variety of things. But obviously, kind of a melancholy reason, but it's a great Cornhusker. Adrian Fiala passes. You had an opportunity to be around this fine Cornhusker, this fine gentleman, and more than be around him, work with him for a number of years. And just kind of your initial thoughts on his passing, those that got a chance to maybe either read the World Herald or maybe listen or see some social media have a little idea of some of your thoughts, but if you'd share those with us.
Well, he was very, very important to me, fellas. I think he was a friend of millions and millions of Nebraskans all over the place. We have Husker fans all over the world. And to many of them, Abe was a close personal friend. And that's hard to do when you've never met him. But that's exactly the kind of personality that he had. He was the most warm and inviting spirit that I knew. But he was incurably generous. The guy was so incredibly generous with his time and selfless with his talent. And for me, that dates all the way back to when I was 17 years old. That's when I first met Adrian, and he was doing the Husker games and he was extremely popular, big-time deal then. And here I was, a high school kid in Lincoln, and I was a nobody, and nobody should have given me any time, but he did. And it started then, and it just continued until Saturday, which was the last day that I saw him. He was just a force for me, but he was a force for everybody who knew him, because anybody who ever came up to aid and asked him for something, he said yes. It was the most incredible devotion and the most incredible act of sharing that I've ever known, and that I think a lot of people have ever known, because he just really believed that if somebody asked him for something, it's because they really needed it and really wanted it. So it was his duty to fulfill it. And that's a wonderful legacy and a great example.
You know, Jim, there's a common theme that's come up. You know, Kevin Kugler was on a little while ago, and that's that common theme of a guy who takes people under their wing and makes them feel comfortable. And even though, you know, maybe you have no right to be made feel comfortable, that was something. And I mentioned it earlier when we started the show that Adrian was one of those guys, no matter what kind of day or what the situation was, when you turned on that microphone or when he got in front of people or around people, he didn't have too many bad days, did he?
He really didn't. And part of it was he just had an incredibly optimistic and incredibly forward-looking outlook, Bonnie. I mean, everybody has tough days. Everybody has moments of adversity. Everybody has that divine providence when it hits the bottom before you can find your way back up. And yet he never lost sight of getting back up. And Abe had just as many disappointments, maybe more than most of us, because he was a risk taker. He tried for big things. He caught a lot of big things, but he had disappointments. But he never let that change his optimistic outlook. That never let him change the way he approached life every day. He had talents. He had real gifts, more unique gifts than most people, rare gifts. But it never, ever allowed him to kick back, relax, and coast. He pushed himself in every walk of life. He had talent to be on the air, but he trained himself. He studied hard. He critiqued himself. And he was very generous in offering positive reinforcement and guidance and coaching to others. I was a young broadcaster. You talked about Kevin. I got to spend most of 10 years with Adrian doing Husker baseball and another 6 or 7 on the air for football. And this was a guy who was a teacher and a coach, and he led by example, his preparation. Now, he didn't criticize. But if I asked him for a critical ear, he'd give it to me. And it was positive, and it was helpful. And it was the same way in business. And it was the same way in his personal relationships. People trusted him. He had a warm and inviting spirit. And that was a rare thing and something you just don't see in young people today. But hopefully examples like Adrian will rub off.
Jim Rose is with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Ditto, Monty Kratzenstein. I mentioned that I enjoyed listening to Adrian do baseball more than any of the other sports like football, because you had time to tell a story when doing a 3-hour-ish baseball game. You had time to sit there and talk to your audience and relate a story over an inning, an at-bat, a couple of innings, and Adrian obviously had plenty of those. And his history, he knew the history. A kid could come up, and he wouldn't even have to be from Nebraska, but he could tell you 2 or 3 things that weren't in the press guide.
Yeah, he was a very hard-working guy, and I honestly marveled at his commitment to whatever the task was. Here's a guy who broadcast national sports. Here's a guy who was on national networks. Here's a guy who rubbed shoulders with the Ray Scotts of the world and others. And yet, you know, he would, on nights that the Huskers weren't playing the next day, he and I would hook up for a high school football broadcast at Seacrest Field. You know, he and I would hook up for a high school baseball game or something of that nature. Because it just was so much fun for him, and he knew that he could make a contribution, and he knew he would enlighten and entertain the audience. So he treated every assignment like Game 7 of the World Series or like the national title game. He treated every assignment the same. He was dogged in his preparation. He was committed and focused and concentrated on the task at hand, because he knew that maybe there are fewer people listening to this Southeast Millard North football game than the Husker-Oklahoma game. But it's just as important to those people listening to the Southeast Millard North game as the people listening to the Nebraska-Oklahoma game. And you don't see that today. You never see that. But you did with him. And it was the same way. He treated his broadcast of Omaha Lancers hockey the way a Stanley Cup Finals announcer would treat his assignment. And it set a wonderful pace for us. We used to call him the treat killer because he'd come to every broadcast with at least three or four notebooks filled with things, most of which he'd never use or get to. But in that off chance that the opportunity presented itself to put that anecdote on the air, he was ready to go. And it was enlightening, and it was entertaining, and it was very rare.
Jim, we've discussed it on the show. Many people have read and listened about it. We know Adrian's high school career and the great things he did, especially with the Legion baseball team that made it to the Legion World Series twice. We know about his playing career, the ability to be a three-year letter winner at linebacker on the football team, to be the starting catcher at baseball. And then we fast forward to his broadcasting career. Can you enlighten us on how he got back into or got into the broadcasting, and what we know that he was an attorney, but what kept him busy besides that in those years from college to where we know him now as a broadcaster?
It started right after he left law school. He had gotten to know one of the announcers of Nebraska football back in the 70s, the late Dick Perry. Back in the 70s, there were multiple stations that broadcast the games. KFOR in Lincoln was one of them, and Dick Perry was the legendary announcer there. But, you know, Dick had interviewed Adrian during the course of his playing career there, and so he knew he was an articulate guy with a nice sound and a smart guy. So sure enough, they were preparing to do something innovative at the time, which was to add a sideline announcer. Very unheard of in college sports. Nobody had sideline. Why would you have a guy on the sideline? You got a play-by-play guy and a color guy, and that's all you need. Well, Dick and the management of KFOR thought this would be a nice little touch, so they thought they'd add a sideline reporter. Sure enough, of course, coaches weren't exactly thrilled with his idea in the beginning, but Adrian had equity with Coach Osborne, and so sure enough, in 1974, they put the sideline announcer on the air, and it was Adrian Fiala. And he just stuck with that for a few years, moved up to the booth a few years later, and that sent him on his way. But he was a regular contributor. He wasn't just a guy that would chime in with injuries. He was a knowledgeable broadcaster. So the play-by-play guys at the time, Dick and later Tim Moreland and Ray Scott, would use him for insightful commentary about what was happening on the field. And it was designed to draw listeners in, and it did. You mentioned his baseball career. Frankly, Adrian was a better baseball player than a football player. He was a major league caliber baseball player. He was a catcher, and you talked about the Legion baseball team he captained back in the mid-60s. But he was a guy that got a lot of attention by professional organizations for baseball. Big power hitter, good speed, great hands, great eye-hand coordination. But there was no way that his dad was going to let him turn down a full-ride scholarship to get a college education to chase after professional baseball when the signing bonus for a second- or third-round draft choice back in those days was probably $10,000. You mean you're going to give up an education for $10,000? I don't think so, said Mr. Fiala. So away Adrian went to the university to get the first degree in the history of his family, and instead of just getting a degree, Adrian got two of them. That's the kind of guy he was.
Rosie, I'm really glad that we had the opportunity to get you on here. You could, you know, as always, you can enlighten us a lot of different ways, and we do appreciate it. I think one of the things that I'd encourage everybody listening and whatnot is, you know, it's always sad when you lose somebody that like this, but there's also that thing called the celebration of life, and I think that's something that needs to be done also, and I know it will be here in the near future, and I think that's important too.
It will, Monty, and you're right, and I think all of us who have the blessing of being able to say goodbye to Adrian, and I consider that one of the last great gifts that he was able to give to me, feel that very way. This is a celebration of a wonderful life and a great friend, and we're going to miss him. But we had a lot of great times together. That's how he'd want it, and that's how it's going to be.
Sometimes, because we all have our faults here, it kind of made my stomach churn a little bit about the way we in the media cover stories. And last night, I particularly turned on Lincoln and 1011 to see the coverage of this. And I get the Lawrence Phillips story in the first 5 minutes, and I don't get anything on Adrian Fiala until the sports, when we know that Adrian Fiala was a much bigger story than Lawrence Phillips. And it kind of made me sad last night, Jim, when that actually happened. And I know everybody has their own way, but you know what? I'd have rather had Adrian right off the top than a dog that died and Lawrence Phillips than what transpired.
See, I think that the unicameral ought to pass a law. And if I got to be emperor for 15 minutes, the first thing I'd say is anybody who ever mentions the name Lawrence Phillips again is immediately fined $50. And anybody who writes Lawrence Phillips' name down is fined $100. And anybody that thinks Lawrence Phillips' name is fined $200 and has to serve 30 days in jail. That's the only way we're going to finally remove the stain of what is the most notorious figure in the history of this program for a very negative way. But to have him, unfortunately, transgress the most latest transgression on the very day that we lose Adrian, it's something unfair. And I'm glad you brought that up.
Because it's a huge, huge inequity that we would have both of these stories get that kind of attention on the same day. But I think most Nebraskans know where their heart is, and it's not with Lawrence Phillips.
Yeah, well said, Rosie, as always. Hey, before we let you get away here, one last thing, because we're talking off air a little bit. Tell us what you're up to right now. Tell us what you're doing, because we don't get to listen to you on the radio as much anymore, and I happen to know a little bit of what you're doing, but talk about that a minute.
Well, I've never ever gotten a job I've ever applied for. That's the problem. I mean, I think I'm like 0 for 50 on jobs at which I've applied. That doesn't count all the ones I applied for coming out of school. That would be making out like 0 for 100. I'm in the university in the athletic department. I'm in the development office. And, it's a really great opportunity to work with wonderful people. And, everybody in this building comes to work every day with one goal, and that is to give 600 student-athletes the greatest experience of their life. And we do that in a variety of ways, helping them do well in school, helping them socially, giving them life skills, and also building facilities and giving them a great athletic experience. So if you got a chance to do that, it's a hell of a fun time, and it is for me. And it's also something that, I take very seriously and consider myself fortunate to do. We have a lot of great people, and it's not just fans. It's alumni, friends, followers, neighbors, and they're all in. And when you have everybody on the board and everybody in, you're going to be successful. And that's been the key to our success for years and years here. So this is a wholly owned subsidiary of the people. The people are involved. Their investment has been wisely managed, and it pays off. And that's what we deal with every day, and it's a lot of fun.
Great experiences and great facilities. Fortunately or unfortunately, take money, don't they, Jim?
And that's every now and then.
And Doug, one of the things Jim has to do sometimes, he's got to say, I would like to do all this stuff for free, but we can't do it for free.
Can't do it for free. And the good news is there are a lot of successful people out there who understand that. So yep. We're able to walk in and make a case that this investment will do wonders for our program on several different levels. And we have enough evidence to back it up. And so we get help. We have unbelievably generous people who see the vision and know what we're doing and are proud of what we're doing. So it's mostly just connecting their ideas with our opportunities. And when we do that, we're very, very happy with the results.
Well, we've got so many more questions we can ask Jim, but we want to let him get back to his day. We could ask him about Wichita State Shocker basketball. We could ask him if he's ever bathed in Dorothy Lynch, or we could just ask him a whole lot of other things. But we wanted to get Jim on today to talk about Adrian Fiala. Jim, any last comment or thought on Adrian?
No, I think everybody has said it beautifully. I've read so much and I've seen so much, and I'm truly impressed by the outpouring of support for Fran and the family, and the outpouring of emotion, because when you lose somebody that you really were close to, it's hard. And for somebody who was only able to meet a few hundred thousand people in his life, that leaves several million that didn't get to meet him personally, but he was still their friend. And for that, we can be thankful.
Always had to fake a few extra minutes when you were walking with Adrian because you knew he was going to take a little extra time to say hi to everybody. Jimmy,
right.
Hey, thanks for the time. We'll see you along the road somewhere, and school's about out, so enjoy your summer.
You bet, guys. Take care. We'll see you soon.
Take care. Jim Rose joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So, I think everybody liked Adrian.
Absolutely.
There's not a lot of people that you can say that about.
Yep, I agree.
So there you go, and... maybe he needs to contact Urban Meyer. He's got a little extra money that maybe he would even throw the Huskers away. He's now, I wonder how he feels, though. He's won the national championship, and he's the second highest paid college football coach behind Saban. He's going to average at least $6.5 million over his restructured and extended contract through 2020.
That doesn't concern guys like, you know, they don't have an ego. They don't really care about the money. They don't care. Oh, wait a minute.
It's their agents do. Their agent, we got to get you what we can get you.
They do, too. Don't kid yourself. That is a big deal. A
couple of other sports notes as we wrap things up on this Tuesday. Hastings College baseball team split a doubleheader with Dort yesterday. They are very busy. They will go to York tomorrow. Then they've got games at home Friday, Saturday, Sunday. UNK baseball has added a game with Wayne State tomorrow night. It's Pack the Park night. First pitch at 6 o'clock. This is a late addition to their schedule. So UNK, second in the MIAA, will take on a Wildcat team that's always competitive in the Northern Sun. The first 100 fans will receive a Loper gift. Youths 12 and under will receive free admission with a paying adult. Kearney Youth Sports are encouraged to wear their baseball uniforms, and that's all tomorrow night. Tri-City Storm begin the playoffs tonight at Omaha, then they're home Thursday and Saturday. You can hear them all at 7:05 on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. We knew him as a great wrestler at Axtell, and now he's taken over my Chanticleer wrestling program. Justin Swedberg officially announced today as the new head wrestling coach, replacing Derry Trampy. Congratulations to Kearney High's Haley Limbaugh. Picked up her 100th career victory for the Bearcats in tennis, just the 12th player to ever do that. There's plenty of soccer today. The Kearney girls play Holdridge. We're going to talk with Coach Tammy Armstrong on tomorrow's show. Kearney Catholic is at Columbus SCOTUS. Hastings will be hosting North Platte. Grand Island is at Columbus. Northwest will be hosting Seward. Lexington will be up at Norfolk to take on Lutheran High. Norfolk Catholic and the Grand Island baseball team is in Lincoln to play a doubleheader today against North Star. Monty, anything before we get on out of here?
Always goes fast and love it.
Well, Monty, we always appreciate you coming in, giving us some time. I'm not asking for a Husker prediction right now, but what
good.
Do you think?
I like it. Let's temper down a little bit of the enthusiasm or a little bit of the criticism, and let's see what happens.
You like the defense ahead of the offense right now? Or is it too early to be talking about that? I mean, coming out of last year, even with Bo was back, I thought the defense would be ahead of the offense. I still think that.
I agree. I think defense is ahead.
All right. Tomorrow, we anticipate that Greg Beals will be joining us tomorrow, if not Thursday, the head baseball coach at Ohio State. As we said, Tammy Anderson's going to join us. Kearney High Soccer coming off their conference championship, state-rated team. Spring National Letter of Intent Day is tomorrow. So for most of the kids that haven't signed for football, this will be a lot of the other sports. You'll start hearing about that. I want to thank Kevin Kugler and Jim Rose for joining us on the show today, and also Mark Fedori with the Buffalo County Youth Advisory Board. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
ESPN Superstation. SportsCenter.
Good afternoon, I'm Mike Will, a SportsCenter update on ESPN. The Nebraska baseball team will play.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.